should have this already memorized. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, meekness. Here, Paul was speaking to Timothy, and he was saying, you, Timothy, you are a man of God. But this morning, I ask all of you, who are you? Brothers, who are you? Sisters, who are you? We have to believe that this is the divine fact. We are men of God. That being said, I'm so happy to be here in front of you this morning for these few minutes with these kind of announcements. We are men of God.
Amen.
And I'd like to begin. I do have a short amount of time. I'd like to begin with a short overview of this line, these morning times. We're talking about the basic qualifications of a man of God. And as we see in 1 Timothy, we believe the fact that Timothy was a man of God, so are we today. But what are the basic qualifications that make us a man of God? I'd like to begin with our first message. We talked about the Spirit. Do you have a spirit?
Amen.
The second message, we talked about the conscience. Do you have a conscience?
Amen.
Two for two. Yesterday, we spoke regarding the matter of the heart. This morning, we like to touch the matter of faith. Tomorrow morning, we like to touch the matter of, has anyone looked ahead? Humanity. In our regeneration, we received a regenerated spirit. We have a conscience that alerts us regarding the feelings of God. We have a heart to love Him, faith to pursue Him, and we have a humanity by which He can fill us and be expressed on earth today. But there's a word in front of all of these, a word that is an adjective that's a modifier. Based upon our regeneration, we are a man of God here. But as Brother Minoru helped us last night, we need an exercised spirit. This requires our participation. Conscience, how about our dealing with our conscience every morning, every day, that we would have a good conscience? Even this week with your gospel partner, with your roommates, there might be some offenses. Even during this sanctified week of training, you need to take care that you would have a good conscience. The heart we talked about yesterday, we're not born with a pure heart. We need to spend time with the Lord that He would infuse and He would purify our heart. So this morning we're talking about unfeigned faith. Some of you might not know what this word means, and Brother Peter, in the second part of the outline, he will go into more detail, and yet tomorrow the brothers will help us with the matter of a proper humanity. So on one hand, the matter is, yes, according to the facts, according to faith, we are men of God, but at the same time, it does require our cooperation. So I'd like to, at this point, share just a minute. I've been appreciating the brothers' testimonies. I have a short testimony. Myself, I received the Lord when I was 17. I grew up in a good Catholic family. And at a certain point, long story short, I prayed to receive the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Growing up as an altar boy and everything, I was in a religious system of prayers and rituals and things like that. But there was a moment in time when I was 17 that I opened my heart to Him. And I remember distinctly four matters that were results of that time. As I was walking out of that charismatic Catholic building, I remember distinctly that I had a disdain for my old manner of life. Number two, I had a desire spontaneously to read God's Word. We had a big Catholic Bible on the coffee table, but I felt to go to a Bible store to get my own Bible. Another thing that I was really touched with was a matter to have fellowship with real other believers. And lastly, which was brought out a little bit last night, I had a desire to consecrate myself to the Lord. So some of you received the Lord recently. Others of you have received the Lord after many, many years. But I believe these four aspects, these elements, are also in the seed, even if you received the Lord many, many years ago. Even the matter of consecrating yourself to the Lord. Even as one of the brothers mentioned, in a specific way. From your checkbook, to your car, to your future, to one day getting married, to all these, your major, all of these things. Spend time to enumerate, Lord, You've purchased me. You've redeemed me. You've regenerated me. I am not my own. I belong to Jesus.
Amen.
And so even I give a testimony, when I went to my first live training, I didn't know what I was going to. I just, out of some zeal, I wanted to, and I heard Brother Lee was sharing, and I went, and I just saw a multitude of young people with white shirts and ties and skirts around the front podium. And I said, wow, what is that? And someone said, oh, that's the trainees. And I just broke down in one of the chairs in the aisle. I said, Lord, when I graduate, that's where I'm going. And I had no idea all the joy that was waiting before me. Those were the best 2 years of my life. So at that time, let me. And a couple years after I was 17, I came into the church life, and I realized this is my home. No longer shall I roam. I have come home, home in the church. So at the time of my regeneration, when I was 17, I received a portion of the faith. I received the seed, the divine seed. And in 2 Peter 1:1, it says, what we've received is the allotted portion, the equally precious allotted portion of the faith.
Amen.
When we're coming to this message, many of us, maybe out of the whole week's messages, this one might be a little bit more fuzzy to us. What is faith? Many times we say, oh, I don't have enough faith. Oh, it says if I have a mustard seed of faith, I can move the mountains. And they haven't moved an inch yet. So I must not have that much faith. We have to, with Brother Peter's help, we'll get into this matter. You do have faith. You have a living person in you. This living person is your faith. So let's come to the outline. If you haven't unsnapped, let's come to page 31. And let's read the title regarding the basic qualifications of a man of God. What is today's title?
An unfeigned faith.
So let's start first of all with going through a couple of the verses that we have heard in the past that are in the Bible. Just at the last minute, there were some verses that struck me. And you can write down some of these verses. And then afterwards, we'll go through a couple of the verses here regarding the matter of faith. Hebrews 10:38 says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul does not delight in him." Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking away unto Jesus, he is the author and the perfecter of our faith." So in Matthew 17:20, it says, "And he said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Then we come to Hebrews chapter 11. I would encourage you all during the break time this afternoon, read Hebrews chapter 11. This is, you could say, the hall of fame of faith. Even in reading this chapter, you have to say we're taking a tour, a faith tour of all these dear ones that have gone before us. I'll just read a couple of the verses, 11:1. "Now faith is the substantiation of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Hebrews 11:3, "By faith we understand that the universe has been framed from the word of God, so that what we what is seen has not come into being out of things which appear." We'll talk about this in just a minute. And Enoch, we have at least one Enoch here. 11:5. "By faith Enoch was translated." And one of my personal favorites, 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. "Before I got married, my wife was never in the habit of giving me too many gifts. But one gift which she did, and she's progressed over the years, she gave me a frame in Spanish." And she said, and the frame was Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith, it is impossible to be well pleasing to God." And I think she was even giving me that gift before we got married in faith. "Oh, I don't know about this Bill. I don't know about this brother. Lord, we give this marriage to you. This is in faith, Lord." I really believe that was the sentiments behind that. You can ask her. Your sisters can check with her. You can ask her in Spanish. And we have Romans 1:17. This is a historic verse that changed the Christian landscape. This was what the Lord shined and showed to our brother Martin Luther. "For the righteousness of God is revealed in it out of faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall have life and live by faith." So at that point, I'd like us to all pull out our verse sheet. Which you have been memorizing so diligently. The test is tomorrow. So just follow along the best that you can with me. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. "Nor to give heed to myths and unending genealogies, which produce questionings, rather than God's economy, which is in faith." Verse 5. "But the end of the charge is love, out of a pure heart, and out of a good conscience, and out of unfeigned faith." Verse 19. "Holding faith and a good conscience." Brothers and sisters, do you realize that you can become shipwrecked regarding the faith? We have an example of Paul in the end of Acts. He was shipwrecked. There was nothing left from that experience. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. holding the mystery of the faith. Turn to the back. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Oh, again, let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern. First Timothy chapter 6, 11. But you,
O man of God, believe these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, meekness.
Verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold let's just skip to 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 22. But flee youthful lusts
and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of the pure heart.
And lastly, the capstone, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7. Amen. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. So you start to realize that faith is an intricate matter regarding our Christian life, our pursuing life, and regarding our being produced unto maturity, being a man of God. Let's come to the outline. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. The economy of God is in faith.
That is God's economy, which is to dispense himself into his chosen people according to his purpose, according to the matter that is initiated and developed in the
Sisters B. Amen. I'd like to just track back. All the verses that we read, that we heard this morning, come down into one of two categories. We've been talking a little bit, although our burden this morning isn't regarding the objective side of the faith, but the objective side of the faith is all the things that we believe as believers. And I like to sum it up, and you saw this earlier. Some of you, I don't know if this would be on the test, but it could be. This is what we call the wire diagram. This is on the track that we had at the Gospel Day. This actually sums up all of the contents of what we believe as Christians as the under the objective faith, or objective faith. Many of us have websites and we have tracks. But many times someone will come up to you, oh, Naifu, what do you believe? And we're, I believe, where's the serving? Where's the full-time? What do I say? This is what you say. I believe in the triune God. I believe in God who dwells in approachable light, coming into man, the man, Jesus Christ. He lived on the earth for 33 and a half years, a perfect human life. He was crucified. He took away all of our sins. Amen. He was buried. And he rose. He became the life-giving spirit. He's seated at the right hand of God in the heavenlies. And he descended. And he's been breathed into man today. He is the spirit who wants to be one with our spirit. This is what we see as the divine revelation in the Bible. But our fellowship this morning, and Brother Peter will share more, is regarding the subjective aspect of our faith, which is just our receiving the Lord himself as faith. We have a living faith. We have a living person in us. By our enjoying him day by day, our faith grows. Our faith develops and our faith increases. You cannot muster up more faith, sisters. you just enjoy the Lord more. And I just like to say this at this point, we live a life of faith. Don't live a life of checking your balance online with your bank account. You don't live by how many zeros you have after your bank account. You live a life of faith. Even some of you coming to this training this week, you said, oh, can't come, no way, sorry. You don't have to raise your hands. This is, unfortunately, according to our past experience, we live by what we see, not by the unseen realm. We have to realize we believe in the invisible God. And as we spend time with him, he infuses himself into us as our believing ability. Amen. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together. Faith of the believers
is actually not their own faith, but Christ entering into them to be their faith.
Brothers A. I'll come back to A. Sisters B.
After
yes. 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 Amen. All together, C. I just like to put this on the board. Read his word.com. The more time you spend in reading God's word, even in a scheduled way, I'll show you what the saints in Columbus, some of the sisters produced. For our last quarter, we were encouraged to read through the whole New Testament in 60 days. Maybe some of the saints didn't finish, but at least they read some of the word. They were encouraged to read some of the word. And they, through the reading of the word, the hearing of Christ, faith was generated in those students. Even some of us, we should encourage one another. I need a companion. I want to pray. I want to read God's word. I want more faith generated in me. Enoch, will you be my Bible reading partner? We should have this among the churches. This is good. This will generate faith among all of us. And actually, this website, if you haven't checked already, is very helpful in keeping a schedule to keep you constantly, day by day, infused with faith. Amen. I'll stop right here.
Praise the Lord for this time we have together, saints. We're just those that are having the hearing of faith for this whole week. It's very precious that we can be here being infused with faith. And our speaking is infusing one another. Not just the brothers speaking, but all of our speaking. In all kinds of situations, we're infusing faith for the building up of his body. So praise the Lord. You know, this section that we cover this morning, unfeigned faith, is just as I looked at this material, I just had kind of a disconnect. Unfeigned and faith just don't seem to go together. So why did we get this portion, Bill? Unfeigned. You know, feigned means that it's something fake, something false, something of pretense. But faith is real. It's solid. It's Christ himself. So Paul in Timothy, he mentions unfeigned faith is one of the three cords for us to resist the degradation of the church. And to the inoculation, we need unfeigned faith. Also in 2 Timothy, he says too that you had unfeigned faith in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. So both those cases, Paul mentions unfeigned faith. So, you know, when you, that means that Timothy is a third generation, right? He's a third generation believer. The longer the church life goes on, we're going to have, and we want to have, more generations. But the difficulty as we go on with the Lord, and the more time we've been with the Lord, and more things are built up, even in the precious church life, then we can have a pattern before us, and we could do that pattern before us, but it may not be very real to us. It may just be an outward pattern. Not just if you're third generation can this happen. This can happen. This happens to me all the time, even serving with my full time. I handle a lot of things, and I can start to do many things in an outward way. And you know, when that happens to me, and when that happens to you, that is a miserable experience. If you really check it, you're just going, you're kind of on autopilot, but you lost your connection. You lost your connection with the living one. So Paul, just by that word, unfeigned faith, reminds us we need to come back, like we're doing this week. Come back to the one who is our faith. Come back and spend time with the one who's the giant of faith. I'm not the giant of faith. You're not a giant of faith. Don't try to muster up faith. Go to the one who is faith. Spend time with the one who is faith. And as you're with him, you'll be infused with faith. So if you just look at your outline, we just had the sequence here. We just finished reading Roman numeral 2. How about we read Roman 3 together? And let's read the bold together, Roman numeral 3 on the outline, and A together. Okay? Unfeigned faith is faith without pretense or hypocrisy. Unfeigned faith purifies the heart and works through faith. Okay, then let's just have, how about this section, these two sections, stand up and read 1, then this section 2, and the remaining section 3. Okay, so 1, start here. With a strong spirit.
Living faith is active. It operates through love to fulfill not only the law, but also God's purpose. That is, to complete the sonship of God for his corporate expression.
Amen. So I would encourage you, when you have time, to read especially some of the verses and the notes that go with these verses are really rich. Especially that last one in chapter 3, verse 2, and the next one will be in Titus 3:15. A very excellent note in those sections. But I just want to talk about the process of faith, how it works. And I think we know this. But we need just, like Paul says, I'm reminding you. We need the reminding. And the steps of receiving, of having faith, were first, we hear. We hear the words of faith, the word which is the word spoken to us as the gospel, the words of Christ, the words of the Bible, the logos of the Bible. We hear those words. And as we hear, we start to see the scenery of who Christ is, the value of his salvation. Maybe we see ourselves in his light, and we also see how far away we are from this excellent one. But the main thing we see is when we hear, then we know him, and we know the scenery of faith, then we begin to appreciate. We begin to have a value. And that value, when as soon as we begin to appreciate that wonderful Christ and his wonderful salvation, right away, faith is infused into you. That infusing of faith then causes you to value the Lord, to treasure the Lord, to love the Lord. And then, you know what? That taste looks like Manuel said last night. You want more of that taste. You want to spend more time with that wonderful one because the scenery is so wonderful and Jesus is so wonderful. So we have to be reminded that this is the sequence of faith. And this isn't just our initial salvation, saints. This, we receive the faith initially. Now we must live by that faith. So if we would try to see all the good outward things in the church life, all the things we should practice, all the the wonderful things the saints have gained in their living. And we try to do that in an outward way without contacting this living one, then we're disconnected from this living one. We will not have an organic salvation. We will just be doing outward things. We will be in feigned faith. So the Lord needs to save us from that, and we need to save ourselves by being diligent to enter into the Lord's presence, just like the brothers brought out again this morning with our morning time with the Lord. Spend time with Him, loving Him, letting Him kiss us, letting Him awaken in us His love. Originally, faith was imparted into us. But you know, that faith, you can't run on that faith for the rest of your life. You need to go to the Lord and get more fresh vision, fresh infusing. Praise the Lord. So that's Paul's goal in Timothy, as he's showing Timothy the secrets of going on with the Lord, pointing him to lay hold on that life that's really life, and pointing him to his spirit, which is the energizer within his being, and telling him to also keep your heart open. I just want to touch, I think Bill already did, that when we receive faith, there's some blocks. We have a very good picture of the sequence of faith, which is like a camera. So your being is like a camera. And if you want to receive the scenery of faith and see the Lord and be empowered in the Lord, you need to open that shutter. And when you open that shutter, the wonderful Jesus just shines into you. And as all the wonderful things of His salvation shine into you, and you're just impressed in the depths of your being. There's a click. Oh, Lord, I love You. Amen. Lord, I just saw You afresh this morning. Amen. How good that is. Amen. Lord, I don't want to try anymore in myself. Amen. Lord, I just want to live in You. Amen. That infusion of faith just made an impression on your being. Now, what got written on you, just like on that camera? Just the film of that camera recorded that image. But this is a living image. This is the living image we know from 2 Corinthians. Because it says we're being changed into the same image. The metaphor just changes in 2 Corinthians from just seeing the image to the image becomes you. The image, that living one that was just a picture, now gets into your being, and we are changed into the same image. Isn't that marvelous? There's an organic transaction that happens, and Christ is written into your being. Well, the camera could have a problem. That could be our heart is not pure, right? So it's not in focus. It's seeing too many other things. It doesn't have a good view of the Lord Jesus. So we need to have that camera adjusted. That's the pure heart that we talked about. And then how about other things that can come in to blur that lens? Our sins, our offenses. When you come into God's presence, the Lord will take care of that. As you come to Him, He can just shine on you. And we've been practicing that with this week. Saints, we're just practicing. I don't know all the engineering with a camera. I probably get lost in a lot of the details. But it's a wonderful picture. Because if the camera is out of focus, it can't receive. If it's got a blemish on the lens, it's blocked. So that's our being. And these things have to be cleared up so that all three are functioning together so we can receive unfeigned faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Paul reminds us of this in Galatians. He said, did you receive the Spirit? How did you receive the Spirit? By works of the law or by hearing of faith? So Paul reminds us, come back to the hearing of faith. We must go on in the same way. Praise the Lord. Let's read on the outline. Let's read 4. How about we also do the same here, all together on 4, and then the three sections, A, B, and C. So all together on 4. Okay, then this section can stand and do A. This section, little b, this section c.
We should not walk by sight or care for the outward situation. Rather, in this wonderful faith, we should enjoy its source, which is the triune God.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Only in this way can we become, in the current of the church's degradation, the overcomers whom the Lord is calling and is desiring to obtain in Revelation 2 and 3.
Amen. So I would think everyone has to really appreciate these books, the Timothys, and even the Titus, the three T's, but this week especially the Timothys, the inoculation and the supply God has given us in these books to resist the downward decline of the church, the degradation of the church, so that he can raise up people who are men of God. And this matter of our faith is really crucial. So Paul tells Timothy the secrets. He's telling his co-worker the secrets of how to maintain this faith, how to maintain your life, how to lay hold of life, and he's pointing him to the most important secrets. You can also see in Paul's pattern of Paul's life many places where you just get a little glimpse into Paul's heart. He'll just be fellowshipping some really rich truths, and then he'll just break into some praise about God. He'll just break into some appreciation of Christ. This is a secret window into a pattern that we need to be in.
Amen.
That means he had a sweet, intimate connection with the Lord. The Lord was his lover.
Amen.
The Lord was his dear one.
Amen.
The Lord was the one that he would could just get lost in this one.
Amen.
And that was his whole goal and desire. So as a pattern, I just want to read some of the verses that show Paul, how Paul was being infused. Like in Colossians 1:29, he says, I labor according to his operation, which operates in me in power. So Paul was very clear, who is laboring? There's one laboring in me. This shows Paul had an organic connection. Paul was not running on automatic pilot, Paul energy. He was operating by a dynamo. And how did he have that dynamo? By contacting the Lord each day. 1 Corinthians 15:10. I labored more abundantly than all the apostles, the super apostles, right? Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul, right there, just a little phrase. He opens up the secret. Saints, you may think I'm Paul, the mighty Paul, the powerful, but it's not I'm laboring. I just get connected to this one. I just spend time with this one, and he's operating in me. I mean, he even goes beyond what all the apostles that were physically with the Lord Jesus. I don't know how it's happening, but I know it's just by this operating one. Then Galatians 2:20, we know this verse. The life I now live, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God. Paul's not saying, I have some kind of faith that you don't have. I have the faith that belongs to the Son of God. And I'm just coming to him every day. I'm just spending time in his presence. My shutter is wide open to him. Click, 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 click. I'm just receiving him. I'm just enjoying him. I'm living by faith. It's not this that I received Jesus 20 years ago and now I'm running based on that with my natural energy. No, I received him. Now I'm living every day just looking away to Jesus. Then Philippians 1:8, and the Philippians especially, all these Philippian references. This shows his whole being is saturated with God. Philippians 1:8, I longed after you Philippians in the inward parts. That means Paul was so with the Lord that his affection for the Philippians was the Lord's affection. He got written on by the Lord, right? And then 2:13, God operates in you the willing and working. It's not Paul's willpower. There's a willing spirit in Paul. And when he contacts this willing one, his will just gets changed. So don't try to exercise your will so much. Just come to the Lord. That's your main exercise. And spend time with him. His will become your will. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you. Oh, the mind, our troublesome mind, now becomes the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constrains us. Like some wall. We're just walled in. We just, oh, Lord, I can't move this way. Oh, Lord, I can't move this way. Lord, I got to stay right with you. That's a constraining love of the Lord. How sweet is that? You know, Paul's biggest trouble his whole life, if you see it, was the law. He was so for the law before. So whenever Paul had pursued the Lord, he needed to turn from that law and just stay constrained in the love of the Lord. And he was experiencing that. Then 2 Corinthians 4:6, I love this reference. Illuminating the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul never saw Jesus' face. He wasn't with him physically, but the Lord had appeared to him, I guess. But he was being regulated by being in the presence of the Lord. You remember that in the tabernacle, the bread is called the bread of the presence, also called the face bread. So saints, when we're there in his presence, we're regulated by his faith and faith. His face is just infusing faith into you. So, praise the Lord. We just need to spend more time with this one who is a giant of faith. Amen. And as we do, our whole being will be saturated, permeated, and we will become that living image of Christ expressed on the earth. Oh, what a calling we have, saints. And this is an unfeigned faith. Don't try to muster it up in yourself. Just spend time with him. And you will be changed. Praise the Lord. And we have the witnesses. We have many witnesses today among us, older brothers with us, who've witnessed the change by spending time with the Lord. And that is our call, to spend that time also, that we would be changed into his image.